This recording, Utah 1, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I had malaria. That was an interesting experience. I spent 8 days just being sick every time I ate or drank any water, fell out of a guard tower, was passing out. So they put me on a cot in a bunker, and my job was just to rest until we went back to town, because we were 3 hours out from the nearest base, driving, and by helicopter, ironically. The nearest military facility by helicopter is 3 hours, and the nearest base period was 3 hours by vehicle. So I was just waiting for time to pass so I could go back to the main base so we could get to check in with the medics and stuff. But the medic, we had one medic that was a PFC, he'd come check, but there was nothing abnormal, 101 fever, sinus arrhythmia, irregular heartbeat stuff. Just everybody had that because we're in the middle of the desert. It's just kind of expected. So everybody, you know, I didn't stand out as anything severe until I left the shade, because I was always in the shade. And I suddenly felt better one day, went to go take a shower, and I couldn't wash the grime off. And the shower was like a water bottle in a bucket with holes stabbed in it. So you'd get this drip, and I just figured, you know, inadequate facilities. Therefore, I couldn't get clean. So I scrubbed, ran out of bottled water, and I couldn't get it off. So I'm walking back, and I felt good, and the radio operator was like, he's like, dude, you look yellow. Maybe you should go see the medic. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm yellow, whatever. So I looked in the mirror, and I was yellow. So I went to the medic. I was like, hey, doc, look me in the whites of the eyes and tell me I'm going to live. And he said, you're getting medevaced. And so they called for the helicopter, because apparently my liver had failed, so I was jaundiced. And so they shipped me back to Kandahar, and they had to refuel halfway there. So there's 3 helicopters. It was a Black Hawk and 2 Apache escorts. And so that was an expensive for taxpayers trip, I'm sure. But and then when I got to Kandahar, to the surgical facility, I had a red blood cell count of 2. So I was suffocating, and they gave me 2 blood transfusions immediately. That, like, it was who's A positive, and one of the medics started slapping his wrist right there. And he was giving up. That's the last thing I remember before I passed out, was him getting ready to give up blood just so they could put it straight into me. And so then I woke up in Germany, I guess. I don't remember anything in Germany. I was in the hospital there for 3 weeks in ICU, and I caused all sorts of problems. Every time that I gained consciousness, I thought I'd been captured, so I would assault people and try to escape. But I'd lost like 45 pounds of muscle, so I was like a sloppy, wet fish, and I'd just flow around and slap tubes at people. So nobody really got hurt other than me. But I was just the pain, because I'd always, when I figured that I couldn't do anything else, and I would try to mess with the machinery, so I'd always change the settings on all my life support equipment and everything, and the doctors would get irritated. Pulled out an A-line once. I had a trach. That was fun, being on a ventilator. Changing the ventilator settings is one of the things that stressed them out. The interesting fact, they screw the plugs into the walls in the ICU so that you can't pull the plug on the life support. So that's kind of a misnomer when they say pull the plug, because you can't, because they're attached mechanically to the wall. And but it's interesting. And let's see, other fun things I learned in the hospital, that the little green star and the green wristband mean you're a fall hazard. So if you try to get out of bed, your face is going to meet the floor before your second foot does, and then they get mad about that too. But after I got stabilized, they sent me to Walter Reed in D.C., where I tried to jump off the roof of the hospital when we got out of the helicopter because I thought I'd been captured again. I distinctly remember thinking, there's no buildings taller than two stories in Afghanistan, so I'm just going to run and jump off this thing and get away from these guys. So as soon as the helicopter landed, I brushed them out of the way. I made like three steps out of the helicopter before I collapsed. But I was firmly intent on jumping off the side of that building, which is seven stories to pavement or concrete. It would have been a horrible way to end all that taxpayer investment.